Super. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that are happening in the world that are happening behind the scenes, that you're doing behind the scenes. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Lord, that you've got everything under control. Nothing for us to worry about except just to be overcomers of the world and the flesh. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for placing it in us to want nothing but what you want for us. And Lord, place it in our hearts to talk to you every day, to speak to you every day, and to find out what it is you'd have us to do, just like Jesus did. Lord, they say that in the old writings of the Hebrew scholars that Jesus would go out there and pray and ask you what you want him to do. You talk to him about what happened that day, and then you tell him what you'd have wanted him to do the next day. Lord, that's something that we would like to experience with you also, Lord, that you would be in total control of everything. And Father God, I ask that in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to do that, to sit and to listen and to hear you, your voice, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in each and every one of us that wants it, that's willing to give up their life in order to be able to hear you, Lord, and to be led by your Spirit, the places that you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you also for talking through us, that we would only speak as an oracle of God, and that the enemy would always be running when we show up. And Father, we thank you that that's already happening in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we have dominion over this earth. We have authority over the spiritual. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that we are new creations in you. And the most powerful gift that we have is the most powerful gift in the world. And that's the gift that raised Jesus from the dead. And I praise you and I thank you, Father. Yeah, glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank you for this open heaven that we have also, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I got one. I brought it up in the morning meeting, but I'm going to bring it up here in the outreach because we've got a bunch of good believers here too. And that's my sister, Alanette, has been diagnosed with some kind of spongy substance on her lungs. And she's my younger daughter. She and I were real close at one time. Lord, I lift up Alanette to you. I remember the time that you saved her when she was in the bedroom with her husband and I, and he was unconscious, Lord. And you got me up early in the morning to go up there and talk with him, even though he was unconscious. And Lord, I believe right now that he's in heaven because of it. And Alanette is also one of yours because of it. And Father, I thank you that she is one of yours. And in the name of Jesus right now, I take authority over this, whatever it is, and I command it to go from her. I command it to dry up in the name of Jesus right now to your glory, Lord. And I thank you that Alanette is healed, delivered, and set free from this malady, the spirit of infirmity, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for my sister Alanette. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. That's good. She's done. She's a wonderful lady. All right. Anybody else? Glory be to God. I sent her a pamphlet, the confession pamphlet. Told her to look at it, do what it says, and God would heal her. And I believe it. Okay. Oh, got a testimony. Julie and Missy. Remember we prayed for Isaiah the other night, And he moved out of his dad's, moved over to his grandmother's. And we're just believing, that this is the start of his restoration into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Isaiah. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. And Lord, we just cast down any negative thoughts that people might have in the family because of it. Lord, and because we're just going to believe it's you doing this for a reason. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we're looking for Isaiah to come back here. In Jesus' name, with his mama. With a haircut. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a little testimony too. You know, yesterday, William had posted in the chat about a fire on his neighbor's property coming up close to his, and we were all praying for all that and stuff. Well, it was probably maybe a couple hours after all that that I'm hearing sirens up and down this road here, which is, it's a busy road, but I got the California Fire Department right across the street from me, and there's a fire station right around the corner from me. So if you can imagine, anytime there's an emergency, I'm hearing sirens all the time. But this was going on and on and on, and I just started praying in the spirit, and I'm just commanding. It's like that there's not going to be any destruction around here, and I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I pray for your grace and mercy. And then probably within, I don't know, 20 minutes or so after all that, and I'm still hearing sirens, and I hear my phone go off with the, you know, alarm where the fire was at. And it was not that far from where I'm at. It's a valley. It's in a natural park area over there, and it's also close to homes and that kind of thing, and farmland. And anyhow, so I was praying, like, and it wasn't an evacuation yet, but it was identified and where it was, and they were telling people, if you have livestock, to go to this area over here, which is just down the road from where I live. It's a strip mall area, the parking lot and big parking lot and stuff. They could bring their horses and whatever trailers there. So anyhow, that was going on. I was still praying the spirit, and I'm hearing helicopters, and I'm praying, and I'm commanding angels, and I'm praying the word and doing all that. And then I hear another alarm on my phone, and this time there is a mandatory evacuation for the people over in that area. And I looked on the map, and it expanded and stuff. And I was praying, nope, they're putting that fire out. The angels are already putting it out. And I was blessing the people on the ground and in the air and dumping water on there and everything that they'd had that they needed to put that fire out. And I said, I am not hearing another alarm on my phone for any more evacuations or that fire spreading or whatever. It's being controlled right now, and it's going out. And it was probably, and it started getting quiet again. I wasn't hearing any sirens or anything like that. And I wasn't hearing any helicopters. And it was about an hour later, and I looked on the map, and they'd lifted off the evacuation, and the thing had gotten under control. And so I was just wanting to give praise and glory to God that, you know, that didn't get out of control. It was pretty windy yesterday, and it was really hot. And, God, you're faithful. You were faithful. And, thank you, Lord, that you do have authority over these things, and we do have the command of the angels to go forth and do these things and assist. And I just thank you, Lord, that these fires, that I'm not fearful when they start coming, because that started coming on me, the fear and the anxiety about, oh, here it comes again, and what if, and blah, blah, blah. So I had to fight against all that, too, with myself. And, you know, just... anyhow, I just thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful, and you promise, and you honor faith, and you're a great God, and you care about people, you care about the lives of people, and you're always trying, you're always giving us full tests, and I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for everything, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Andrew. God is so good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on Sunday, David Ailes did a study on baptism, on water baptism. And I got baptized today.
Praise God.
I suddenly, you know, like I've been struggling with this for the longest time. I was always counting this baptism I had, but I was kind of coerced into doing it. So, and I don't really think I knew a lot of what I was doing. So I think my friend wanted me to have his points that, you know, that he's got his one convert baptized and stuff, you know. And I got baptized today, and that's my praise report. It's been a long time coming.
Scott,
we've discussed this baptism before, and I knew I received something when I was witnessed to. But, you know, I went through all these different churches and stuff, and I knew I received, like, God's with me, you know, and I even seen some things manifest. And, when it came to make a profession of faith for the baptism, all I knew was newness of life, but I don't think I knew that it was Christ Jesus' life in you and that resurrected life. So as time went on and I came to UBM, there was a time where he spoke Colossians 1:27. And it was clear to me, and then I went, well, I think I have to be baptized, but I didn't know any churches then either, and I always wanted to be in a church that I was sure was a church, for sure, and that happened years ago, the Colossians 1:27, where, you know, it a mystery hid from the ages, but now is being revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it just clicked that time, and I went, do I need to be rebaptized now? But there was just nobody around, so I didn't know anybody. So that's my praise report, that I got baptized today. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Any guesses who kind of baptized me? Anyways, he wore the same shirt too. He got complimented on it. We went down to the beach and I said, some people noticed, you know, because we were going to go do it in the corner privately, but then it was too rocky there. So we went down on the beach and some people noticed and they were smiling. And anyways, I professed First Peter 2:24, and I professed Colossians 1:27, and I professed Ephesians 5:26, and of course the newness of life in Christ Jesus by faith. And it's amazing how the Lord held me this long a time to come to the fruition of the new life in Christ. And it was just wonderful the way it worked out. Oh, you could ask Ben. I was beaming, smiling. When I phoned him today, I asked for a nice day, and it was a beautiful sunny day today. Lots of people on the beach for a Tuesday night, or a Tuesday after supper anyway. And so it was. It worked out well, and it was exciting for me. I was nervous. I think Ben was a little nervous too, and he got to experience to do something in the Lord's name, also a deed to do, and praise God. We do all things according to his name in word and deed. And, you know, it was always, I would go back and I would have this picture on the dresser over there and I'd look at it and I was going, no, what happened over there? I have a picture, you know. And, you know, I got the gift of tongues too prior, you know, and, it was just lovely. And, you know, I always considered myself to be saved, and that's what you are, is saved. And he formalized it more for me with his word. And during the time on Sunday, it was just the way he said it. The whole conversation, like, that's, he usually, the Sunday's a big long, it's not cut in half like Wednesdays, so. It was just something he said on there that prompted me and said, "Now, Andrew, this is the third time, but this time, you know, you've been looking for a church that's like the first century church, and things have happened where you've even seen people taken out and some martyrdom." So, so that was, something that I would always ask the Lord about in the other churches that I was in. Is this the place, Lord? And, just from the very basic understanding I had that they were wrong in things, just the order of the churches he took me through. So. And of course, I remembered again that I didn't really get it back when I got baptized in that church. And it was a Pentecostal church. I went through another church before that. And I guess I lost it. And I just got baptized and I counted it always. But it wasn't. It wasn't there, you know, so it was just a wonderful thing to get off my chest, to have this done. So there's no qualms. I was listening to the same thing again prior before coming on, and there was no inhibitions or anything because of listening to it again. And it was clear and wonderful. So I thank the Lord for today. I thank the Lord for having, I was very excited to get and to do this obedience for the Lord. Very excited. Very excited. And my son Ben would testify to that.
Amen. And
praise God.
I'm glad that Ben got the opportunity to perform that for you.
Well, that's, you know, awesome. I did hear that people can do these baptisms. You don't have to be a pastor or anything. So, so Ben, the nice guy he is, did it for me. He obeyed also in the name for this to happen. And, he baptized me. We reviewed some scripture verse. He left his Bible here. So. And he's got to pick it up later. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Amen. Good story. Thank you, Ben, Andrew. Thank you, Benjamin, for doing that. I wish we'd have recorded it on some film. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Well, there's only two of us here, but we're expecting a lot more coming in the future.
Amen. Amen. That's absolutely correct. I'm looking for you both to be in here. Praise God. We'll see. See what happens. I'm looking for everybody to come here. That's what I'm looking for. Everybody I know, be here. Even Pat. No, I believe you're going to be part of it too, bud. All right. anybody else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome, Lord. I do have a song tonight, but before the song, can I do a pre-song thing? Well, you'll see what I'm talking about when I get to it, okay? It's going to be a surprise, but it'll be a good surprise. You probably have already seen it, but that's okay. I hadn't. All right, let's get to it. Gotta wait till it loads up. And it's loading. Come on.
Hey folks, it's John Rich here out in the woods in Tennessee. This is behind the scenes footage of the video shoot of my new song, Revelation. There's never been a song like this song, and I don't think there's ever been a video shot like this video. You're gonna see some behind the scenes stuff that is absolutely phenomenal.
Dancing in the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies.
So I'm Jared Potter. I'm the visual effects supervisor slash artist. We'll have drone VFX. We'll have body double VFX. We will have lightning effects. We'll have smoke effects, fire, eye replacement visual effects. There's probably near the end of the video going to be effects on every single shot.
The lyrics to Revelation are so graphic and intense that I wanted to have a video that was also that intense, that the images would line up intensity-wise with what the song is actually saying.
I'm David Abbott here on the set today of John Rich's Revelation video. You know, this is such a cool concept, and it sort of stands between like this spiritual warfare between good and evil, and John represents humanity stuck in between that.
Super cinematic. We're really going for almost like a small Marvel movie. There's so much going on that it's going to feel really big while happening in a sort of small location.
A lot of moving parts going on today. We've got an amazing actor, Nick Searcy, playing the adversary. And then Hollywood Yates is playing like an angel that's coming through this portal to protect humanity.
I am the Archangel Michael. I have come to save the world and cast the devil into the fiery pits of hell.
Wow, man, that is over the top.
To my knowledge, this may be the only song like this that's ever been written. I hope that you find inspiration out of it. If you're a Christian, if you're lost, I hope it slaps you hard enough to wake you up. It's a very serious song. When you guys see the video, pass it along. Let everybody check it out. God bless.
All right, that's a wrap, guys. Good job. Woo. Well done, Joe Jack. Good job, my man.
Flames. The people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Cold.
back again. Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel shaken when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run when Jesus puts his mighty foot on the ground. I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Cold, get ready, 'cause the King is coming. The King is coming back again. Lightning flash, they're a voice of will, and their teeth are gnashing. He'll set fire to the evil ones and all the wickedness they've done. There'll be no time to turn around as the stars begin to hit the ground and the mountains fall and the veil is torn with the sounding of that seventh horn. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train. The King is coming, and it won't be long.
I like that. That's a good show. I like that. Yeah. I did too. Praise God. That Michael bad. That Michael, he's good. He's good. He's good and bad, I guess. Bad for the devil, good for us. All right. Thank you, Lord, for John Rich's song. I enjoy it. That's one of my favorites now. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Got anything, a question or anything? On anything, and I'll bet you the Lord can answer. Yeah, Missy.
This is just something that came to me when I was watching that video. I don't know if I didn't catch it anywhere, but at one point, I was thinking, you know, the devil's eyes. They missed a great opportunity when it was showing him up close to show his eyes as red. I think it's one thing they should have done is they should have made his eyes red. Just saying. Okay. For whatever that's worth.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been okay, but I didn't even notice. Yeah, they could have put some of those lenses in his eyeballs and made him red. Who said the devil's eyes was red anyway? It's in the funny books, ain't it?
I don't know. I just think that would have been. They could have done CGI on his eyes. Just saying.
Like Kamala does. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
As far as the red eyes, haven't people like seen visions or had encounters or dreams and that kind of thing where his eyes were red?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen him. I know he's tail behind me back years ago. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I was just trying to remember, what color are the eyes of Jesus in the book of Revelation? I can't remember. It's somewhere there in the first chapter, or maybe the, can't remember.
He has eyes of fire in Revelation.
Yeah. So, I guess eyes of fire would be, is not my word of consuming fire, to taste and see that the Lord is good. to burn up all that, that stuff that's supposed to be long gone. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll all find out. As a Jewish boy, he had dark eyes, I'm sure. Okay, anybody else got a question or an answer? Is everybody pretty well set on timeline stuff? Anybody got any questions about the timeline and how it works? I think it works just like Mark 11, 23 and 24. And when the devil tries to put you back, don't pay attention to it. You know what I'm talking about when I say put you back in the line where you're still sick or you're still this or whatever, you still lack or whatever the situation is. So, nope, I'm in the right timeline. I have provisions because God has given me. He's got all the stuff that I need. Not only that, I'm healed by his stripes. I'm healed by his stripes. Did anybody ever see that Brandon video where he was talking about the guy that asked him? He said, why is it that I'm not healed when I pray? And I just don't understand that. So Brandon said, well, let me ask the Lord. And the Lord told him, he took him. Did everybody see that? Anyway, I'll go ahead. Some of you not even moving, but anyway, that's okay. I see you, Judith. let's see. Yeah, he couldn't understand why he wasn't being healed when he thought he ought to be healed. And the Lord took Brandon when Brandon asked him, Lord, why is it that people aren't healed when they think they should be healed? And instantly he took him into a vision where there was two Roman soldiers with cat of nine tails. You know what a cat of nine tails? Everybody know what a cat of nine tails is? It's leather with pieces of sharp glass or stone in the ends of it. And there was a guy out there about 400 pounds, what Brandon said, and they said there wasn't an ounce of fat on him. And another guy on the other side of him and said they'd take and hit Jesus with it, and it'd bring out meat every time. And they just laughed. And Jesus, every time they did that, he'd say, I love you. Jesus would tell him, I love you. And then the other guy would take his turn and grab, hit him pretty hard. And he did that over and over again. He said his back looked like hamburger meat when they got through. And he said, he kept telling them, I love you. After every time that they hit him, he said, I love you. And the Jesus that was sitting there watching himself being beaten, told Brandon, he said, the same way that you believe for your salvation, believe for your healing. That's the same faith that takes that. And do you understand when somebody says, well, you're not saved. And then you argue, no, I am saved. I am saved. I know that I'm saved. The same way he said, do the same thing for your healing. Well, it don't look like you're healed. It don't make any difference what you see. I am healed. I don't make any difference what I feel. I'm healed. It don't make any difference what you see. I'm healed. And when somebody says, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, you're sitting over there, you're limping, you're always asking, you always say, huh? What'd you say? Nope, I'm healed. I'm healed. Well, can you hear me? Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Absolutely, I can hear you. That's what Jesus was talking about our faith. We should be so dogmatic and tenacious in our healing as we are about our salvation. Or if somebody comes up to you, what's wrong with your leg? Nothing. Ain't nothing wrong with my leg. Well, you're limping on it. No, that's just a figment of your imagination. I ain't doing that. I'm walking just like I'm supposed to. Oh, okay. And just praise God that you're here. That's how dogmatic he wants us to be. Yeah, Joe.
Michael, good morning all. I got yesterday reading Absolute Surrender of Andrew Murray again, but first part. What struck me about, I remember about this video you're talking about is Jesus gave all. He gives 100%. In other words, he don't expect 60 back. He accept 100% back. He wants us to be 100% for him, not that. And that's what he showed me in my boldness. I have to be 100%. Not my boldness in myself. Myself is dead, but I'm boldness in Christ. That should be 100%. That should be what you're striving for. That's late last night you showed me that. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We've got to lose it all, don't we, Joe? To give it all to the Lord. Lose our flesh. Get away from the world. And just run after Jesus. One of the things that I read either yesterday or the day before, might have been this morning, I don't remember. Anyway, I do remember. Let me back up. I remember. Anyway, I read this. We always want to do the greater things that Jesus did. When the greater things that he did, what about the things that he did? And what was one of the most, if you think about it, the most, how should I say this, repetitive thing that he did all the time? And that was one of the greater things that he did. Yeah, Ben.
He prayed.
He prayed. What did he do when he prayed?
He
talked to the Father, did he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that I read today, Ben, and it was this, that the old scribes and Pharisees have left these sayings about Jesus. Now, whether they're true or not, nobody knows, but they said that Jesus, when he would go pray, that he would just sit and talk to the Lord, to God the Father, and just tell him what he did that day. Said, Lord, I did this, and I did this, and I walked over here, and I did this, and oh, this one over here, and that one over there, and I just did those things. And then what he would do, he would say, Father, tell me what you want me to do tomorrow. And he'd tell him what to do tomorrow, according to the scribes and the Pharisees, whoever it was. And that's what he would do. And he would always go to the Father. And that's why he always said, that's why he said a number of times, you know, I do nothing unless I ask my Father. And that's something, you know, I thought about that and I got to thinking about that. Do we talk to Jesus like that? Do we say, Jesus, tell me what you want to do, me to do today? Or Lord, tell me tonight when I go to bed. Show me tonight when I go to bed in my dreams things of you, or what you have for me, or what you want me to do, or what is it you want me to know? Whatever it is, you know, whatever comes to mind. And talk to him like he's your friend. Remember what he told that preacher when he walked in there and told him, he said, would you be my friend? I can't find anybody to be my friend. He said, for 1 hour, would you just be my friend? He said, yes, Jesus, I'll do that. And not knowing, but he was a busy guy, but he made time every night, 12:45. He'd set his alarm. He'd get up, make him a pot of tea, drink tea, and start talking to the Lord. He did that for a full year. And then one night, he heard the outside gate open up, close, somebody walking up the walk, came up the door, came inside the door. This is back in the 50s when we did that, you know. It was no locks on the doors or anything like that. And he said Jesus walked in. And Jesus talked to him and he said, because you have been so faithful this last year, from this point on, you'll see me in the flesh wherever you go. How many of you would like to see Jesus in the flesh wherever you go? I'm telling you. Well, then, why don't we all just make it a passion of ours to give the Lord at least an hour a day to just sit and talk with him? And what he said during that, though, he said during that time that he was doing that, he said it was the most fruitful time of him. He always looked forward to that time. Always looked forward to it. After a while, you know, you got to discipline yourself to do it at first, but always imagine in your mind. He set up a chair over there for him. He set up a chair for him. And you could do that too. Set up a chair and say, Jesus, this is your seat. I'll thank you for visiting me. And just talk to him like he was there. And imagine in your mind that Jesus is sitting there. And you'll see him. You'll see him. I guarantee you, you'll see him. Thank you, Lord. All right, Judy, go ahead.
Just something that came to my mind as you were talking about that, where Jesus, you know, just sat and told the Lord, you know, the Father, everything he had done that day, and just got alone with the Lord and talked to him. Well, what was coming to my mind is in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, and he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And that's in verse 6. And then he told them, in verse 10, he said unto them, wheresoever you enter into house, there abide till you depart thence. And whatsoever place you shall not receive you, and they hear you not, as you go forth, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a testimony unto them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And then it talks about John the Baptist, and you go on past there. And then verse 30, it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things whatsoever they had done and whatsoever they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to even eat. And they went away in the boat to a desert place apart. So that's what was coming to me when you were talking about that. That's what Jesus taught his disciples to do as well. You know, it's like, talk to me and tell me about your day. How did you guys do? You know, and when they came back and told them everything that they had done and what they had taught. And then he said, come away to a desert place and, you know, get away from all the multitudes, get away from all the, you know, you need a rest. You need to rest in me. And, you know, in a desert place, it's just you and the Lord, right? It's just, just setting apart, and you know, that's where Lord speaks to you and talks to you and tells you, you know, about all the things that you did. Maybe you failed. Maybe you didn't have the confidence you wanted, or maybe, you know, you had a really awesome time and you saw that manifestation. He wants to hear about it all, the good and the bad, the failures, the mistakes, the your struggles, you know, or you know, my lack of faith, or you know, I did this today, Lord, and help me help, you know, whatever the correction we need or the encouragement we need, and you know, and it's just getting along with the Lord and just talking to him about your day. I think that's what I can take from that. For myself, you know, not that I'm going out preaching and teaching, but we definitely have the ability to go out and evangelize and, you know, talk about Jesus to people, or, you know, and lay our hands on people and pray for them, or just be listening to the Lord and what he's telling us to do with somebody. And, but then come back and tell the Lord about it. Oh, wow, Lord, just, you know, thank you. I saw you do all this, you know, cause I know it's not me, right? It's him. You know, it's his work. And anyhow, I just wanted to share that, but that's what was coming to me as you were talking about that, Michael.
Yeah, thank you for those scriptures. Yeah, confirm that. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Got any good info on getting closer to the Lord? I know it takes discipline, and a lot of times that's something that we struggle with. At least let me put myself with discipline to do tough stuff like that. But I found out that the benefits outweigh the negatives, and there's no negative when you're doing that. None. Zilch. Nada. I tell you, it's to get into that spiritual realm is not hard, actually. It's very easy to do it, and it's all right here. It's in your imagination. It's in your imagination. Imagination is a powerful thing. The Lord talks about it throughout the scriptures. He does. He talks about your imagination, your mind. When he talks about your mind, he's talking about your imagination. That word mind means imagination. In most instances. And so if you can, Andrew.
You know that verse there in chapter 17 that where he says that he the way you love me, Father, is the way I love them. You know, it's 17:23, and
what book?
John, you mentioned it, you know, the other day there, Michael, on your study. You know, it was John 17. You know. I think it's 17:23, and it's just, you know, that this agape love that he's showing towards his son, he's now showing towards us because he's in us, you know, it's like I sometimes think, he told Isaiah to say, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. He's got to do this for the Gentiles, you know, he loves us the way he loves his son, and he's going to share this love with us, and he wants to see our obedience in all things. He wants to see our willingness to do stuff, you know, of course we want open doors to be led by the Lord and things to happen, you know, for us to continue in what the Lord wants us to do. You know, we have to be watching and ready for stuff and let him lead you in those places where he has you, you know. And sometimes, you know, he'll even lead you by what particular book you're reading. I just realized that I'm reading Romans chapter 5, 6, and 7, and what happened today. So, and it just so happens that I was starting chapter 5 the Monday after Sunday night when I was listening to the Bible on baptism. So there's a lot of ways he'll show himself like that to you. And you just know when it's the Lord too, you know. And sometimes he'll show you after the fact too. Like, don't you know what I was doing here? Now have a look, you know. So a verification afterwards or a verification before. So that's just kind of neat the way he does that. And you just want to be so close to him. Because, you know, if God is going to love us and he's the almighty God and Father, then who do we have at our disposal, you know? And it doesn't matter. It's not like a person who has intellect because, you know, a long time ago, people couldn't read. You know, I always go back to that, you know. Perpetua and Felicitas, you know, Perpetua was an educated woman. She could read two languages, but her friend, same age, was illiterate. and of course, the Lord loved them both equally the same, you know, and how do you get saved? You know, I hear stories of 8-year-old boys who are a pastor's son, they get saved, you know, and I was going, well, what kind of sin can this 8-year-old possibly have, you know? Anyways, it's a martyrdom story for the whole family, actually. And the way we know it is because it affected one of the murderers, the kidnappers that we found out the story that way because that guy got saved who was part of the torturers of this pastor and his wife and his 8-year-old son. So, you know, and sometimes you have to read those things in the martyrs with grace because, you know, if you start mentioning a country or particular people, oh, them again, you know, but you can't really think that way about them again, you know, because sometimes when you read one of those martyr things, you got to realize that most people don't know any better. And you get to think about these people because they're the bad guys, you know, where they're not supposed to be called the bad guys because they belong to a nation that nobody likes or something, you know. So anyways, the Lord has to work on some people because that can make people think the wrong way of certain whole groups of people, you know, like the prophet did in Titus chapter 1, you know, he said something about all Cretans, you know, I circled that and I said, what nationality do people put in here now? You know, you don't want to do that, you know, and it's very hard to overcome stuff like that, especially like when you're reading about Christians who are martyred and stuff, you know, because you won't get anywhere. And we've got a good example of that too. So we know that these people don't know any better. Like if what would Jesus have done, you know, like shown up to Paul on his road to Damascus and then, you know, he's a shining guy, and then whammo, no, he's the next apostle, you know, and he's a really well studied Pharisee and changed. So we look forward to our changes in our new life in Christ Jesus, in our perfection and maturing in him. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you might think, well, I got a long way to go. Well, what about that 8-year-old kid, you know, that got a martyr's crown, you know, and and you know, it's just amazing stories. Sometimes you can read into them, you know, and you think about it, you know, you know, little girls in their 20s being murdered. One who can't even, how much could she know if she can't read? You know, but, you know, this, it's not just the word, it's what you pick up by hearing other people. And we're in a one body situation here, you know, that we hear from other people. And, some people, you know, they don't really share too much. I kind of like it when it's formalized with God's word, but I kind of like it sometimes when someone just says it, it dumbs it down for me so that I can get it, you know, and understand it, you know. I even remember once I was asking Michael in way in the past, you know, can you dumb that down? And I don't think I can dumb it down any more than that, Andrew. So, and I was going, okay, putting that one on the shelf. Someone much more is going to have to explain it to me. So, you know, that's just all in the, it's all God's business. It's all being God moving through us with a living activeness and a shining and a spirit and a blood. We all have the blood, so we all know how to behave, right? So, that's just it, you know. You can't let the smallest of us, because it's from the least to the greatest. All shall know me. That's the covenant. That's why we like people when they share the smallest things to the greatest things, you know. Have you ever had those things when you're doing it at work that's supposed to take 5 minutes and it latches on for a half hour? Do you sometimes wonder, say, oh, that's just a little thing. God can take care of it like that, you know. But God's going, you know what I have to do to do that? So I just wonder sometimes if it's that way for him too, you know. You know, something that's easy peasy at work, but it's just not going right today. I don't know. anyways, I hope I shared some good stuff to encourage people, because that's really sometimes, you know, you always want the encourager around to give you encouragement and to be a go-getter, because, you know, we're children of God. And it is not yet manifested what we shall be. And so we want the Lord to constantly lead us. Praise God.
Anybody else on your time with the Lord? Okay, let's see what you got here, Josie. If that's the one by Ron Wyatt, I've seen it, but you're talking about with the chariot wheels and all of that, Josie. Yeah, that's fine. If it's not very long, that'd be fine. Access to the share. Can you hear me, Josie? Okay, good. Let me give you the watch to go ahead and share. Okay, you got it. You want to go ahead and show this video of the Red Sea crossing, the evidence of the Red Sea crossing. Oh, you don't need that. Okay. I ain't got no problem with that. Let's see if I can find it here. All right, Josie, that thing is 17 minutes long, and I'd rather just keep on the subject that we're in right now. Do you mind if we play this some other deal? Is that okay? Because I'd rather stay on this subject. Okay, thank you. I'd rather stay on this subject if I can for another little bit anyway, and let everybody, let's talk about our relationship with the Lord. And what we've all gone through in this thing. Has anybody got any more anything to say about your walk with the Lord and how it has affected you and some of the great things that God's done for you? Like, have you seen, you know, angels? Have you seen Jesus? How come I got my hand up? Oh, okay. Can I talk? How'd I do that? Did you do it? Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
If you go down to that little, if you go down to that little heart where it says react.
Yeah.
You see where it says recognize hand gestures? You must have it clicked on because you were standing there with your hand like this, so it raised your hand. So you must
have my hand out the way.
So you need to unclick that. You see where it's clicked?
Yeah.
Unclick it.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know I had that thing clicked. Okay. What was that? All right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to say about relationship with the Lord? This is a good time to do it, man. This helps a lot of people when we talk about this type of thing. Because people struggle out there. You know, they think, a lot of people think, I'll tell you, 99.9% of them think that the only thing that you can do to help yourself is to go to church on Sunday morning, put money in the bucket, and then come back on Wednesday night. They think that's the only thing there is to a Christian's walk because that's what they've been taught. And when we talk about our relationships, it helps a lot of people out there understand it. Well, you mean I can talk to the Jesus? Absolutely you can. You mean I can sing? Absolutely you can. And so, hey, George, go ahead, brother.
Well, we can see him in a lot of different ways, and I'm trying to expand my imagination, like you said, to see him in unlikely people. You know, who am I to know how God's working on somebody's heart and in their life? And so I'm opening myself up more to kind of be waiting on the Lord to use people and to speak through people and to give me an opportunity to be a brother to those who have been called since the foundation of the world. And I've been getting the scripture a few times about bearing one another's burdens. And I was thinking about, like I was saying, you know, bumping into a lot of different types of people. And the Bible tells us to as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men and especially toward them that are the household of faith. And I'm just thinking that, you know, we're to be a blessing and a light and salt to the world. And if we get a chance to be a blessing, especially to Christians, Christians need to be blessed. And they need a hand from their brothers, and they need to have favor, and they need to recognize, like you said, people get stuck in these so-called institutions, these churches and stuff, and they don't even realize they can mingle with another denomination. They feel like they're doing something taboo just to talk to a brother. And I just feel like God is unifying the body to get rid of those distinctions, and that one body with one head is more important than ever. And it's going to be more important that we find that unity in the spirit of following our head, hearing him, seeing him in other people, and receiving Christ in our brothers and sisters. What an acceleration of God's purpose in the earth it'll be when we, like Andrew was saying, encourage one another by receiving Jesus in one another, understanding that we died, that we no longer live, that we were crucified with him. Like he got baptized today to give the whole world a demonstration of the cross and being raised to life. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I release faith, expecting wonderful things in obedience of the body to come together, to get baptized, to live the crucified life, and to forget about self, to get our eyes off of self so that we can see you in our brothers and sisters and those that have not been watered with enough word, Lord, or don't even, maybe they haven't even heard the gospel, that we would find opportunity to get involved in the harvest so that those that we see that are showing no fruit at all, but they receive the kindness and love from a Christian, that there's an opportunity for their heart to receive the good seed of the good news. And we see a harvest right in front of our eyes, and somebody to join with to work in this harvest, and to see everything accomplished that you want, and every reward for your people to be given out so that we can lay them back at your feet. Because Jesus, you are all in all, and you are our head, and we receive from you, and we ask you to help us to be obedient, and we ask you for boldness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, George, for that. Amen. We need to be a light to the world. And the more good Jesus you got in you, the more light you'll have. But Jesus is the light. He said, I give you the light. You're going to be light. We are light. That light's a wonderful thing. All right, anybody else from your walk with the Lord to help us out here? The main thing is to sit quietly and just listen sometimes. And then the Lord will start talking to you if you can envision him in your mind, talking to you. Your imagination. How many of you have got a vivid imagination? I do. I think all kinds of things. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I do. I can sit down and see, and then it'll happen. Not that I'm anybody. I'm getting along. I pray in the Spirit a lot. And try to stay tuned in the spirit, and just things, a lot of, you know, stuff happened. It's great. You know, the Lord told us that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. And if we could walk into spiritual realm, I think we'd all be amazed at how we've held ourselves back because of our upbringing, you know, in church or whatever. But if you read the Word of God, golly, Jesus was just all over the place. I mean, he's walking through walls, good gracious, walking through people. They couldn't kill him until the time was ready. They wasn't going to kill that man until it was his time. They could sit there and jaw all they wanted to. It didn't bother him. Oh, ain't going to happen today, boys. This ain't the time. Healing people. Because he knew the Father was listening. He knew he had the power of God. And we should know that we have the power of God also. We do. Each one of you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and lifted him up on high. Right straight in. That same power is in us. There ain't nothing we can't do if we set our mind to it. Remember what Jesus, the Lord was sitting up there talking. Man, we let these people go in Babylon, building that tower there. Ain't no telling what they'll do. We got to stop this. Y'all remember that story, don't you? And he had to confound the languages and send them on their way in different directions so they couldn't do what they wanted to do. Well, what they wanted to do was build their own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. And God wasn't going to let that happen. Yeah, this is.
I was pondering that whole thing. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, and thinking about all that and how it is a parable of our time. And, you know, that was them setting all their minds to do that was like the first world order, the first one world order.
Yeah. God wasn't going to have it either, was he?
So having thought about that, you know, I was like, okay. God wasn't going to let them do it then. And
he's going to let them do it this time, isn't he? Well, let me tell you something else related to what you're saying, Missy. What about the verse that tells us if one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 13 people here. How many could we put to flight tonight if we just believed? That's all we have to do is pray and believe that you have received. My gracious sakes alive, we could change the world right here. In this setting right here. Because of what God has already given us. But what we need to do is put it into practice, don't we? Well, I've seen so much stuff now, I don't put God in a box no more. I'm telling you, don't put him in a box no more. Anymore. Excuse me, my mama would have gotten on to me for my English. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, you know, talking about God not, you know, going to let him do it now. And it was just, you know, thinking about what David was sharing on Friday, I guess it was. That, you know, he's, you know, that this Yesara Nisara thing or whatever, this new world order, new monetary system and so on and so forth, that it's, Julie and I were talking about this early and it didn't come to my mind, Julie, but then, but now it is, you know, how it relates to the Tower of Babel and Peleg, you know, during that time is when the land was divided I call it, they said the land was divided. But anyway, about the whole monetary thing, you know, God's not going to bless, he's not going to allow the wicked to be blessed because, you know, all this, what they can do with all this money, you know. But anyway.
Be sure.
Anybody have any thoughts on that whole thing, you know, about the Tower of Babel and
one yeah, that just, or... that just goes to show you what the mind can do when they get together.
Mm-hmm.
When our minds come together, listen, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, nobody in here can focus on one thing for more than 15 seconds. Am I not right? How many of you sat down and tried to focus on something and, oh, man, I left clothes in the dryer. I better go do that. Or, oh, man, I need to run to the store and get some bread or some bologna. Oh, man, you know, the enemy's always messing with you. That's one discipline. You have to grow in that discipline to do what God wants you to do. And pretty soon your mind will say, okay, I ain't fighting Michael anymore. I'm going to go ahead and do what he wants. Because this mind can aid the spirit very much, very much. Go ahead, Pat.
We're just thinking about what Missy was saying there. And that example is an example of the tremendous power that that is in mankind, in the mind. But, and God said that left unrestrained, they can do anything they can imagine, basically. And we've seen that happen throughout my lifetime, I've seen it happen. You know, I can remember, in the 60s, there was a television show called Star Trek that came out. Obviously, it's, you know, resurged back here in the last, you know, 20 years or whatever, but they had, an example right there in that is Captain Kirk or the people from the starship had these little flip recorder things that they would talk into, you know, communicators. I don't remember what they even called them. But it was an image and in the 60s, this was before cell phones, cell towers. You know, I think they had walkie-talkies or something in the armed services and everything, but they weren't too popular, you know, in the public. But these were communicators, you know, that they were using. And then in, 20 years ago, Nextel created exactly the same thing, a flip phone that you could, communicate, talk. It was a cell phone, but it worked a little bit different fashion. Well, though that was science fiction, that was mind, those people with their mind, you know, thinking, imagining certain things and certain technologies then came, you know, evolved out of that imagination. We made it to the moon. Well, some say we made it to the moon. you know, in the late 60s. And yet that was a, those were the images of television and movies and everything for the previous, you know, 40, 50, 60 years, you know, or whatever it was. So there's an amazing power in imagining and envisioning something and moving towards that vision. However, that realm functions, I believe, functions in the realm of this earth, or in the authority structure of this earth. But there was, in that same example, there was another authority structure that superseded that, that was higher. And it was where the Lord said, let us go down and confound their language. And the Lord functioning and moving in that higher jurisdiction or higher authority or higher kingdom actually superseded and overcame and changed that whole structure, even though that it was the most, the strongest, and even God admitted that was the strongest thing of mankind's achievement, and left unrestrained would overcome, overcome the world and become great. Yet he, in just a word, dwelling in a higher jurisdiction with just a word, confounded that structure. Derailed the whole plan, derailed everything, and changed history from that point on. And it's that very structure of authority, that kingdom, if you will, that God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been translated. We who have believed in Christ have been translated into that authority structure, which in and of itself has the ability to overcome any earthly structure and any, force or entity that is utilizing that same structure. And I think it reminds me of that scripture in Revelation, I think Revelation 12 something, where the devil is cast down. You know, I haven't put those pieces together yet, but that part is very clear, that he's cast down to the earth. And I suspect what I am thinking, whether it's true or not, it's what I'm thinking, is he is brought down to that level to function in that jurisdiction, shall we say, or that kingdom or authority structure, which governs the earth now. Yet the sons of God dwell in Jesus in that higher jurisdiction. So, and I, you know, I pray that, that the Lord will open up my eyes, allow me to grasp, what he has done for us. In that sense, it's an amazing thing. And I just, trust in the Lord that he will unpack that and allow me to participate fully and to know how to participate fully in that kingdom that he has brought me into. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for not only wisdom, Lord, but I thank you for grace to implement and to cooperate with you in the direction that you give us, Lord. I just ask that you would open up our eyes, develop our relationship, our fellowship with you, strengthen our spirit, our sensitivity to you. Lord, you showing me even this morning, today, to humble myself, be willing to humble myself under your mighty hand and trust you for the grace that you provide to walk in your will, your ways, Lord. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for that grace. I thank you for, Lord, it's by grace we have been saved, not solely knowledge or not solely wisdom, but by your unmerited influence upon our heart to bring forth Christ in us and repentance and cooperation and moving in your will and in your ways. And so I thank you for that, Lord. I praise you for what you're doing in us, in me, in each one of us in this group, Lord. And just pour out your spirit upon us. And I thank you for it, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your imagination and your grace to walk with you and to be with you and to sense your presence in all of our lives. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. I woke up this morning.
Praise God.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. I do praise the Lord for that. But I woke up with this thought of, I'm trying to think even where I found it. It was Paul talking about, I was thinking of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now in the which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And the next verse was the scripture that was on my mind, or the thought that was on my mind. And Paul said, I do not make void the grace of God. And so I asked the Lord, am I making void your grace in some way? And I got to thinking about it and listening, you know, asking the Lord to lead me. But the first thing he did was, I finished that verse 21, and it kind of derailed me a little bit. He said, I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And I thought of that. Grace, making void the grace of God, and he connects it with God's righteousness, or righteousness, if righteousness is through the law. And I have to admit, I'm still kind of puzzled by the connection there. And so I'm asking the Lord to clarify that and connect the dots, I guess you might say, you know, in my thinking or whatever. But he took me on through to some other scriptures which were connected to grace. And it has to do with, I don't know if it's our I guess it's our responsibility or our obedience to humble ourselves and to obey God, obey his word, obey his voice. He said, but God gives more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, unto God. And that is a, you know, that's a command for us to do, for something for us to do. Be subject, therefore, unto the God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And then he gives us other things that it's our responsibility to do. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, etc. And then he comes back to humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And the Lord always connected this humbling, being willing or humbling ourselves, and connected it with his grace. And it's kind of like, if we're willing to humble ourselves, he gives us the grace we need to the degree that we humble ourselves, I guess you might say. And if we resist and become proud, he pulls that grace away. And so there's a certain aspect of our our responsibility in that relationship that I suspect that this is where the righteousness through the law dots are being connected here somehow, in this puzzle for me. But anyway, I don't want to, belabor the whole thing here, but I'm trusting the Lord that he will show me the specifics. I mean, we were talking about that, earlier, sitting down with the Lord and asking him to show us what to do, show us how to walk, show us, what he wants us to do today. And I think this whole concept for me of being overcoming as he overcame it appears in my mind to be of primary significance And it seems like I rotate or I'm revolve around that aspect of my relationship with the Lord. And that is learning to overcome as he overcame. And so I'm kind of throwing out pieces of the puzzle that I think haven't made a final connection in me. I toss them out more or less as a fodder for prayer for me and for maybe anyone else who may be struggling or, you know, trying to, you know, find a way through the path here. Because I know that the Lord has provided everything we need in order to overcome and walk in the life that he has given us in his life. And it all comes even through that very first scripture, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. So anyway, I'm throwing these things out and, trusting the Lord that he, is opening my eyes, is further bringing me into his, perfect place that he has provided for us in him. So I thank you, Lord. Even though I appear to be struggling or, stumbling through this process, I just praise you because you have the way. You have led the way. You are leading us through the way. You're leading me through the way. And that you are able to bring us into the light. And I believe that you brought us into much light up to this point. But I just feel that there is a fulfillment, a stronger and more intense fulfillment of your life being released within each and every one of us. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that it was accomplished at the cross for each one of us and that we can look forward to your bringing us into that place. For you're the author and the finisher of our faith, and able to provide us the grace that we need, even as we stumble sometimes ignorantly in the dark, you're still able to bring us into the light. And so I thank you for that, Lord. I praise you for what you're doing in us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Really helpful. I'd like to, I know some of you have already seen it, but Ben put that link up there to Brandon's testimony about seeing Jesus and all that I just related earlier. I'd like to play that for the people out there that hadn't seen it. Is that okay with y'all? Okay, Pat says it's okay. Okay, Pat, that's all I was looking for, buddy. Everybody else. we'll do it.
I was praying, and the Lord told me this. I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody. Because I was in praying, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to tell them what I told you about healing. And I said, okay, so here you go, whoever this is for. I was talking to some people that her husband, they go to our church. I worked at the staff at Victory Church in, here in Oklahoma City. And I worked there for a long time. And I was talking to some more people there on staff, and her husband was suffering with some severe arthritis, really bad. And his name was Stanley. And he told me, he said, hey, Brandon, he goes, how come not all Christians are healed when they pray and they suffer so long with stuff? And it was just kind of a challenging question, and I didn't really have the answer for it. So I said, well, I'll pray about it. You know, I don't understand why people go through what they go through, other than we live in a fallen world, is what I told him. But I said, I'll pray about this, you know? And, so I started interceding for this. Well, it was not very long. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and I was getting ready for bed, and I just asked it in my heart. I said, Lord, why are not all Christians healed like they should be? You know, I would like to understand more. Give me revelation. And I went to bed, and all of a sudden, I can't explain it to you. It was very similar to how when he took me to tribulation. I was taken out of my body, and I was at the foot of the cross. Well, to his crucifixion. And, oh man, he was tied to a whipping post. There was a Roman soldier with all this Roman garb on standing on this right hand. No, it was on his left hand, right here. He was chained up with his hands just like this on a whipping post. Are you able to get that in the shot?
Hmm?
His hands were chained up like this, like with rope around, and his hands were up on that whipping post. I can tell you the temperature that it was in that area. It was dirt. There was a dirt floor. There was like a dirt floor there. And the whipping post was wood. The temperature was about 85 degrees outside, maybe 80. I could tell you because I could smell the livestock in this area, this Colosseum area. I don't know what it was. It was like because I could see these people right here, and they were like watching him. And this other man that was on this side was wearing this black outfit. It was like a black, it was like a big, he was a big man. I bet he was probably 400 pounds. He was a massive man. He wasn't heavy, like overweight. He was muscular. He looked huge. And he took that cat of nine tails. And this other one took this cat of nine tails. And Jesus' back was, he was a young man. And, you know, and then you see all this stuff on TV, you know, that he looks old or whatever. No, he was a young guy, 33 years old. That he was, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, well, he's old in these pictures. No, he was young. He looked clean. His back had oily skin. He had dirt on him from the dirt outside, from the sweat, and his dirt was on his back. You could see it. He was dirty, and it was oily, and it was all like olive looking skin. And then they took though that cat of nine tails, and they whipped him one time with it on this side, and then this one whipped him on this side, and he screamed out in agony. I watched it, and I started screaming, and I started yelling, stop this, but nobody could hear me. But Jesus was watching. Jesus himself with me. I was standing outside out of my body. I don't know how this happened, but Jesus was standing right here by me. And he was being watching himself be crucified. And that one man was whipping, and Jesus' face looked up at them, and he said, whew, I'm going to do this without crying. He said, I love you. He said, I love you. Oh,
he said, I love you. And he kept telling them that every single time. And they were mocking him. And they grabbed a hold of his beard. And I saw him, and they ripped huge chunks of his beard out of his face. And they kept going at it. And it was almost like they were having fun. It was sick. And they took those whips. And they were just beating his flesh with it. And it was tearing him off, just tearing him to pieces. And he had chunks of flesh hanging down off of his body. And it was just dangling down. It was the most grotesque thing I've ever seen in my life. And blood was everywhere. And he looked at me, this Jesus, when he was standing right here, he looked at me and he said, Brandon, what more? No, he said this to me. I want to quote it exactly the way he said it. He said, if somebody was to ask you and challenge you about your faith, saying that you're saved, and they said, we don't really believe you're saved, you're not going to go to heaven, he said, you would fight them with every single thing. Yes, I believe I'm saved. You would argue with them. You would go after them, is what he said. I said, yes, that's right. He goes, I said, because I don't question that at all in my heart at all. He said, healing is no different than your salvation. He said, I took your sin on my body and I took your sickness. And he said, what do you not understand? He said, by my stripes, you are healed. By my stripes, you are healed. And he said, when you believe in my healing power as much as what you believe in my salvation, then the manifestation will come. You've got to believe it that strong, is what he was telling me. Believe in what I did for you. What more do you need? That's what he told me. What more do you need? I took it all on my body for you. I took sickness. I took disease for you. I took it on me. By my stripes, you're healed. And I saw his stripes. I saw him. I could hear the people yelling in the background. I didn't see him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And he was beaten to a pulp for us so that we don't have to have sickness in our bodies. So we don't have to suffer with it. By his stripes, you are healed. And I saw it. He was beaten and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. Believe it as much as you believe in your salvation. If anybody was to try to talk you out of it, say, you're not saved. Same way, you're healed. If anybody is to try to tell you you're not healed, you would tell, no, I'm healed. And you've got to believe it that much inside of you. You cannot doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe it with all your might. Believe it like you believe in your salvation. It's so much more, for we have all those sins. We just take it. It's like, I don't want to say, some may just take it for granted that you were saved whenever all the things they used to do to forgive sins, to atone sins, killing animals, goats, calves, and all the stuff they used to do to wash the sins away of the people. We just go to him and just ask him for forgiveness. And he said he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we just believe that, and it's simple. I believe it. God, you saved me. You washed my sins away. But the same faith it took to do that, which we realize how much it probably was to wash all those sins away, it took a sacrifice of Jesus. He took our sickness in his body. Then he took our poverty. He said he became poor that we might be rich. He became sick. He became all these things. Look at it. Just believe it. And he said, believe it with all your heart, Brandon. So I don't know who that's for, but I had that and I came back. When I got back and I woke up the next day, I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Because it was horrific. It was horrific what he went through. So Jesus did that for you. Jesus died for you and he loves you so much. I saw those people whipping him and he kept telling them, I love you. I love you. When most people would just want to spit on those other people. They were spitting on him. They were doing all bad things. Shoving that crown on his head. Thorns. And he just kept saying, I love you. And I just want to tell everybody, Jesus really does love you. And he doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to be blessed. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I want you to have a blessed day. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these people right now. We just pray healing over their bodies. And we thank you, Father, for a turnaround in their circumstances right now in Jesus' name. We pronounce healing and wholeness and wellness over their bodies. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power going through them in the name of Jesus. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they are healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we take authority over sickness and disease. We take authority over poverty. We take authority over lack, not enough, and barely getting by. We take authority over it, and we say it's under our feet in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power that delivers us from all sickness, all disease, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we call you whole and healed and well in Jesus' name. Now, comment down below if it...
Praise God. I'm here. Y'all here? Everybody here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it with all my heart. Thank you, Lord. All right. That was pretty good. I like that. Matter of fact, I had, I asked, Julie to transcribe it, and she's transcribed it. If anybody wants a copy of the transcription, let me know and I'll send it out in an email. If not, that's fine too. Okay, Pat, I'll send you one. I'll send it to everybody if that's all right. If you want, it's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. That means, yeah, oh. One thing that I wanted to mention is I wore glasses up until, when was that? It was about 2005, maybe. No, it was, yeah, about 2005, and I started listening to David. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. Until about, until 2005, and I heard that story that David told about when he got rid of his glasses. He said, Lord, you said in your word that I'm healed. So I'm believing I'm healed. He was healed at that point of his eyes. And I heard that and I said, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. Bless God, I'm gonna put these up too, and you're gonna, I'm gonna see like I have never done before. But my problem with seeing is I couldn't see close up and I couldn't see far off. And I wore, bifocals. And that was since I was probably in my early 20s. Late teens, actually, probably. And I just said, okay, Lord, you said that. I put my glasses in the rock paper, throw them away, but for whatever reason, I knew when I put them up there in that drawer, it was probably still there, that I wasn't going to pick them up again. And I sat down, I got my Bible out, because I couldn't read them without it. And I started, it cleared up right away. It cleared up right away, and I could see. And I said, well, praise you, Lord, I thank you for it. And through the years, at times, they would try to back off of me, and they try to get blurry on the Bible or anything else, you know. I said, no, I've already been kept in the name of Jesus. I'm here. And they'd go away and they'd clear it back up again, you know, just that quick. And it's done that a number of times. And I get my ASV out. You know, it's number 8 font, I think. It's very small print. I said, I can read that. And I sit there, devil, you might as well go, because I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read this whole Bible. You know, and it just clear up, boy, just like that. And that's that. There's other things that I've had wrong with my body that I had struggled with for a while, but it finally got away. And one that I have been working with, but it's not anymore because I'm healed, is my hearing. I had this ringing in my ears that was very, very definite to me. But now I'm healed, and I can hear anybody talking to me. And that's my confession, and I'm staying with it. And if somebody said, did you hear what I said? Yeah, I hear everything you say. And, well, what did I say? That's not your business. Because I'm here. You know. You do that, you keep confessing it, you keep confessing that positive, you stay on that right, as David calls it, that right timeline. I'm going to get that. You're working that quantum faith. You're working that quantum faith. And I confess it every day, at least 3 times a day. At least 3 times a day. I thank you, Father, that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, just like Brandon was talking about. And I confess it every chance I get. And what that does, it brings down those strongholds of that flesh that you built up in your mind. Well, you're not healed because you can't hear a thing. You can't understand anybody anymore. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. That's what I tell them. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. And they just go away scratching their head, you know. I said, that's okay. I'm confessing it. I ain't confessing nothing but that. That's what Brandon was talking about, that Jesus said, be dogmatic and have great tenacity in confessing what you are looking from God. And it's showing up. It's showing up in me. It's showing up. I used to have a sinus problem all the time. My nose just run all the time. Not anymore. Not anymore, bless God. You know, and there's other people that are getting a hold of this, that are getting healed. Even, you know, people that had a little faith, but not much. But they're starting to confess. I put out those confession things. And people are getting healed because they are. They're starting to understand. Jesus said the Christianity is a confessing religion for us. It's what he wants us to do. He wants us to confess the things that he has written down in his book. If he says, by his stripes I'm healed, then how can I talk against it? Well, I'm not healed. Because when you talk against it, you put yourself in the, as David called it, the wrong timeline. I don't want to be in the wrong timeline. I won't be on that right one. I want to be on that right one. I'm going to confess my healing. And that's what Brandon or Jesus was talking about through Brandon. It's just be dogmatic about it. And don't let anybody else talk you out of it. Well, you don't look like you're here. Don't make no difference what you're looking at. Word of God says I'm here. The Word of God is more real than what you see. and it is. We talked about that earlier. The spiritual is more real than the flesh. I think we're out of time, though. Yeah, what more do we need but the words of life? Okay, Lord, I thank you so much for all of these wonderful words that we've gotten tonight, Lord, and I thank you for placing it in our hearts to put them into practice, Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into that realm where you are, Lord, that we listen to you every day. Every day. And we go to you just like your son did. And just talk to you and tell you, well, Lord, this is what happened today. You're with me, but I'm going to relate it to you so I can get it in my spirit. This is what happened. And I'd like to ask you, Lord, to tell me what you want me to do tomorrow. Lead me tomorrow into what you want me to do. And Lord, that's the attitude that you're proposing in all of them. To only do what you want us to be, just like Jesus. You told us to look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And Lord, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. We're going to do that. And Lord, I know that sometimes we get off on a rabbit trail, but that's okay. You get us back. Your Holy Spirit brings us back and puts us on the right trail. Thank you, Father, for doing it. In Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Guide us, lead us. And Father God, we thank you for your power and your authority that you've given us to whip the enemy at every chance we can. And I thank you, Lord, that the deep state enemy is coming down in this country in Jesus' name, and in Canada also, and in South Africa, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for doing just that in the name of Jesus. All right. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.